You may want to turn in your Bible to the first epistle of John and chapter 5. Perhaps we look to the Lord. Our Father and God, we've opened your word. Spirit of God, help us. Bring to us that which we can understand, that which brings us to a more wonderful knowledge, a wonderful knowing, a wonderful understanding of your person. Our Father, we thank you. So help us, here we are. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. In our exercise of 1 John and chapter 5, I would remind you that God is driving home that which the Gospel of John made possible for us to understand. We are to have a unique, wonderful relationship to Almighty God, in his grace and by his grace, and we're to know him in a very intimate, personal way, an experiential way. And in doing so, we ought to have that privilege of your word outworked in our life. So we're looking for God, and so that. So 1 John brings home to the heart, the world system doesn't want us. Our old nature doesn't want us to have any inkling, even, of that truth, of those truths, to have that relationship. That is foreign. So, in the process of God's word, you would remind yourself in the days of Cain, way back in Genesis chapter 4, Cain rejected God's grace. He rejected God's saving grace. And Cain went and built a city. It's in the present tense, past participle. He was building the city, which he never finished. The city was what? To compensate for the absence of God. That's what the city is, to compensate, to bring everyone together, to do everything, to have everything, to be able to come and overcome the absence of God. And therefore, Genesis 6, you don't find God. Genesis 6, you'll find Noah, but you don't find God. Noah walked with God, but you won't find the other. You won't find it. It's a system, what? The devil's got his hand in the pie. He wants the whole thing. So in the process, Cain built a city in the days of Noah, a tower and a city, Genesis 11. And they did all that. God is out of the picture. The devil's in the picture. He's the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. The world we live in, the world we live in, as we see it and smell it and walk in it, is godless. By that I mean, he's absent. You won't find him in politics. You won't find him in... Where are you going to find him? Well, you can find religion. You'll even find a Bible. But you won't find God. That's what you're looking for. I want to come, God. And we share together and have shared. You're always in the presence of God. We can never be out of his presence. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would. So the world system loves darkness rather than light and doesn't want anything to do with light. It's in a state of death. It wants nothing to do with life. So, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now, what are we overcoming? The world system, but we live in it. We live in it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what we live in. A system that leaves God out. It has everything going for it. All of it's working, electronic world, everything you've got, medicines and everything. We got the whole system without God. The God of this world, the devil's in charge of the whole thing. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so the world system is able to maintain its hit, and God isn't. God's saving out of the world system. He's not saving the world system. Underline. He's not saving the world system. He's saving people out of the world system. Different. He's saving a whosoever here, all over us, whosoever there. That's what he's doing. In his grace and kindness at this point in history. So therefore, God is outworking all of that in this one most wonderful, wonderful way. And that God, that the believing heart is supposed to overcome, is overcoming the world as we share together. The world system, able to do what it does in all that it does. And it's able to do what it does every day without God. Seemingly, they're out of the picture. In other words, they aren't conscious of God. So we're caught in it. And we need to understand it so that we don't get caught up in it in the wrong way, because everything is against us, going against the world. To go against the world is to go against a big Goliath. A big Goliath. Going to go against pitch blackness. And we can't overcome blackness and darkness. We just can't do it. Evil. We can't overcome evil. Evil. Without God. The world without God. Think of over Iran and all those different places. With no God. God, Allah. They have no sense. Not everybody, but they have no sense of God in the world out there. In the unbelieving world. So therefore God's doing what he does, and we share together in Romans chapter 1 and 18 and 19 that the world is without excuse. The world has no excuse. The human heart has no excuse. God makes himself known very personal. Before you were ever born, we did all of those things. Before you were ever born. And God is there in the heart when you're born. And you have to somehow, and when your day, to, however, as you grow older, little baby, some way you push him out of the mind, you push him out of your mind and get caught up in the system. The system's very possible and loves darkness. And if you were to stick with God, the world would see you as different. You aren't following us. You aren't believing like we do. Why are you different? Because you're looking to God, trying to understand and know him as your Lord and Savior. So now, all of that in Romans. And so that the Romans 3, a whole world becomes guilty before God. So God is light and God is life. And we are to have an experiential relationship to God. Knowing when you come into the light, darkness hates it. When you go from a state of godless, leaving God out of your life, that's death. Putting God into your life, that's life. When you leave God out, the world wants you to leave God out, I should say. And it doesn't want any light. It doesn't want any love. It doesn't want any life. And the world hates, over to John, just for a moment, over to John, and chapter 15 to remind yourself what we're looking at. John chapter 15, our Lord said it in the upper room before he was crucified. Verse 18, chapter 15, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And again we read, verse 19, for if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. It hates you. And chapter 17, when you're here, over to chapter 17, reminding yourself, verse 14, 17, 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So God, back over to 1 John. In the process, the world has no desire to go to the cross and be saved. It has no desire. And therefore, the world system hates light, etc., as we just read. And therefore, the admonition to us is, don't love the world. 1 John, as you remember. So in 1 John, in chapter 2, we were warned because that's our enemy. That's what we're up against. The world doesn't want you to have light and life. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away, and the lusts thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we're to understand, the world wants us to hate light. On the other hand, we are warned not to get caught up in the world, the world system, with all of its power and its attractions and everything, its allurements, everything, it's all there. It's a demanding, electronic world, demanding you update, demanding you work your system, because without it, you can't be in the system. You have to have the system in front of you. And that's now, as more and more as it happens, that's it, the control. That's what it wants, control. And an old way, a way of many ways, the world system. The world system hates light. Now, if, how do you know when you love the world? If you lose what you have and you lose your joy, that's world to you. If I took it away from you, and you lost your joy, that's worldliness. You're hanging on to it too tight. Too tight. Don't hang on to it that tight. It may become, it may go. If you hang on to it like that and you lose it, that's worldliness to you. To you. Someone else it wouldn't be, but to you it is. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in God's awesome, wonderful grace. So, John, you're going to have to go, if we can. And in looking at the world system, and remember in James we shared together, James 4 and that, if you are friendship with the world, if you are going to be friends with the world, James 4:4, you're going to be an enemy of God. That's going to be. You say, you're going to be friends? God said, you're not my friend. You're caught in the world system that hates me. And you're caught in it. Hang on, I'm going to balance it out, I hope, for you, a little bit. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, And remembering now, you are to be separated unto him. Over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and chapter 6. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians and chapter 6, just to remind you, in the world system that we live in. And in the world system we live in, chapter 6, verse 14. And be not only unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Remember now what you have, John 11, 29. Learn of me. Put my yoke around your neck. That's God's yoke. Don't put the world's yoke around your neck. Verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Or what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them, and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we're looking for God's outworking in God's wonderful, wonderful way in the world. Now, in the world system, the world system is everything you can see, taste, touch, around. Now, all of that, when I say world system, I say the world, and then there's the world system. The world system under Satan controls the world that we live in. Satan, the system, the world system, controls the world we live in. And keep that in mind. The world we live in is one thing. The world system's another. Make a difference. The devil operates and owns the system. Now, having said that, sometime believers, when they get people that have been serious trying to work things out with God, and especially in history, that's why the nunneries and different things, they're all there. And they tried to, priests would try to go, believers would try to go and get rid of the world, because it's everywhere. We're in it, we believe it. So we're gonna get rid of the world. So we're gonna go. And we go in caves, we lived in caves, and lived, tried to beat ourselves, be beaten, do whatever to punish ourselves, to hate the world. Now, that's, and some of that's true today for people. People say, well, if I hate the world, I'm in the world. I'm in the world. If I hate it, if I hate it like God tells me to, how can I ever? I can't. This isn't practical. It isn't practical to do that. Oh, help God send some more light to that we can see. Over to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, if I can. And picking up, if I may, in chapter 5. Ecclesiastes and chapter 5. Now, it's all the way in Ecclesiastes. I'm just going to give you a little thought as you turn the pages of the 12 chapters. Just a thought now. God, what Solomon is looking, Solomon's looking at the world, and he leaves God out. That's the purpose of Ecclesiastes. What is it like, said Solomon, to be What is the world like? And what is the world like if we leave God out of the picture? How does it come out? Now, vanity. Now, but as you turn the pages, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Verse 19, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. God created Genesis 1 and 31. And that all that he created in 6 days is very good. Sin came along, but everything was made good. The people that were using it weren't enjoying it from God's point of view. They weren't enjoying it. They were trying to get rid of God instead of understanding. God gave them. So what us believers, what are we doing? God gave you a human body. He gave you sight and all the different things we have, taste buds and all of that, and many, many flavors and many trees and fruits and vegetables and everything. God did it. He didn't. Why? To enjoy it. You don't have to be saved. God gave that to us humans. Whether you live in China or South America or here, God gave that for you to enjoy. That's a gift from God. He gave you a body to enjoy human world stuff. Not the world system, the world, the trees, the bugs, the birds. He gave it to you to enjoy. You have to be saved. That's why he gave it. That's wonderful. I need to know that because I'm not talking about, I don't need to get out of the world. I'm in the world. I don't need to do that. And I don't need to go and hide in a cave from the world. I don't need to do that. I need to understand God has given all of life for me to enjoy. To the much as you have your taste buds and everything, you enjoy eating whatever, what you do. That's a gift. Do it differently now. Over to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in 1 Corinthians and in chapter 7, and you remember, just putting these things together, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, sliding, if I may remember, it's looking at the persecution and the trouble that was happening in the days of Corinth, etc. And it wasn't easy. So people were slaves, and they got caught into slavery. A great part of the Roman Empire was enslaved in slavery. So therefore, verse 29. Well, no, I will skip down. Well, read verse 29. This I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they and both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as those they rejoice not, and they that buy as those that they as though they possess not. Verse 31. And they that use this world as not abusing it. They that use this world, that use it. What is needful, the word used, what is needful, what has a purpose. It's present tense, keeps on going, continuous. What you're using in the world? You have to use it. You have to eat, you have to drink, you have to put gas in the car, you have to do things. It's in the world. There's nothing wrong with that. believer or unbeliever. That's what you do. But you have to do it. But don't be abusing. To use overmuch, the word use. Don't overmuch use the world. Not making excessive use of the same. Don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. You're in the world. Don't hold it too tight. Because, and then if you lose it, you lose your joy. You're in the world with an open hand. Enjoy what you can. If you can enjoy lobster dinner, well, lobster or something. If you enjoy some kind of food, and you can have it and you can eat it 10 times a day, then do it. I mean, chores, just don't gain too much weight. And in the process, you can do all that. And someone else can't enjoy it only once a year. That's fine. You enjoy it once a year. You enjoy it 10 times a day. It's yours. It's fine. Don't kill yourself and kick yourself. It's what it is. It's what it is. It's a gift from God to enjoy it. So don't tie it up and cause yourself to lose. I'm not a friend of the world system, but I'm in the world system and I use the world, which is legit. And therefore, I don't want to overuse it. And in verse 31, they that use this world is not abusing it. For, why? The world, for the fashion of this world, the fashion of this world is passing away. It's all going to disappear. That's what you read. If you read back over to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16, 17, the world passes away. It's all going. Everything you see. You see wonderful plants and everything. Plants and trees. They're here today and gone tomorrow. It's all passing. None of it's here to stay. Even the pyramids become dust. Nothing's here. It's only for here. It's the world system. You're in the world system, but that which is in the world is not the world system. The world system is that satanic system governed and guided by the devil himself that leaves God out of the picture. It hates light and hates life. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, do it again. Over if I can to 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy, if I may, and in chapter 6. And you'll see it all says the same thing. First Timothy chapter 6. May I pick up, please? Going directly, verse 6. 1 Timothy 6, 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out of it. Now that's pretty clear. When every little baby is born, they bring nothing in. And when they die, they take nothing out. We bury them. And everything they have and be and are gone. You brought nothing in and you take nothing out. God didn't talk about the world, that you're going to have world and bring the wonderful thing from the world into heaven. No, you're not. You're not doing that. What you're doing is God in his grace is going to get you into heaven and you're going to enjoy heaven. You're not going to enjoy. I always wanted to have this beautiful flower. I'm going to bring it. No, you're not. The flowers are going to pass away. They flourish. Everything in the world. So if you want to hold it real tight, it'll disappear. Your hand will hold it. You can hold what you love and we'll bury you. We'll bury you. And you and it go to the ground to dust. That's where you go. So therefore, don't love the world. But at the same time, don't enjoy what you can because it's your privilege. If you're going to have lunch, you have lunch or whatever you're going to do, go have the lunch and eat the lunch, whatever you're going to have. And hopefully say thank you. Why are you going to say thank you? Because 1 Timothy 4, God has set apart the food. So set apart the food for you. God did. That's right, to believe with thanksgiving. So here's 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trusting in certain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That's what he gave. That's what he did. It's a privilege. That's you're thankful. Thankful, God, you've done all this in such a wonderful way for us. Over to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, which you know, but look at it again. In chapter 6, picking up, if I may, I'll pick up in verse 28. You catch the flavor of it. Chapter 6, Matthew 28. Why take ye thought, worry, your mind divided up, trying to handle everything? Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? In other words, what we have today is gone, and the wonderful food you bought, a month from now, it's not going to be too good. It goes bad. You have it. It fashions, disappear. It disappears. Everything, clothes. I try to wear clothes that last me. I got so many things now, lips alone, so many things. I don't want to, she's going to try to buy me something and bought it. And I said, I don't want to see that. Send that back to the store. I don't want any more stuff. I'm not going to live long enough to wear it out. I don't want any more stuff. So you know that. Now, so God, what are we doing? God said it's all going to pass away. What are we going to do? We're going to trust God. And therefore, over here of little faith, verse 30, verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, well, shall we eat? Don't be worried and divided in your mind about your general living. That you're in the world. Enjoy, it's a gift to God. But don't get caught up in the world system. The world system has no place for God. It has no room for God. It won't mention God. The whole system is there. And you won't hear it on the television or whatever, usually. So, therefore, take no thought what you should drink or whether shall you be clothed. Verse 32, for reason, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Well, you don't have to do that. No. Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. And I gave them to you, to a gift. And people have different abilities and gifts and taste buds and everything. Verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Put God in the right place and thank God, look to God. Don't get caught up in the world system. Don't do that. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought. Don't be all more anxious for the morrow, tomorrow. But tomorrow, the morrow, shall take thought. There's enough problems coming up, but the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You got enough problems today. Just work them out. Don't try to work out next week. One day at a time, and you're going to go and look to God in his most wonderful way to do what he does as only he can do. Now, back over to 1 John. Over to 1 John, if I may. And in 1 John chapter 5, if I can. Now, therefore, now just try a little bit to balance it. There's a difference, the world system. That's the system, us humans, managing the things of the world. The world itself has not got a problem. There's no sin in an apple. There's no sin in a deer. There's no sin in a cow. There isn't sin. Sin is in us humans and what we do and how we do it. So therefore, don't mix them up. Don't mix them up and cause... Because then what? Well, I don't understand it, so I do everything, and you're caught in the world again. You're doing what you shouldn't do. You're getting caught up in the system, trusting it. And the computer world is very strong and very powerful. It's not going to be, it is. It already is. And where it's going to take and how it's going to be used by the God of this world to do whatever. In managing oil, managing mushrooms, managing fertilizer, managing anything. The system is there. There's nothing wrong with the fertilizer. There's nothing wrong with the oranges. It's how it's system. Now, having said that, therefore, what are you saying, John, to us, God? Chapter 5. For this is the love of God, verse 3, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever, everything God brings forth, begets, everything that's born of God overcometh the world. It overcomes the world. God overcomes it. And this is the victory. Well, I want to overcome the world. That's right. And God did it. And we shared that together the last time or so when we did all the overcoming. Overcoming with a result of the overcoming when he died in the cross. John 16:33. You don't have to turn there. The Lord Jesus said, be of good courage. I have overcome the world. I have already done so. You aren't going to do it. I did it. And when you receive me as your Savior, you'll receive the overcomer. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is... What are those two little words? Can you see them? In you. In you. When you received him as your Savior, you'll receive the overcomer. And greater is the overcomer in you than the world system that you live in. And that's what God is trying to help you see. You have overcome because you received Christ as your Savior. So that if I can, do it again with little things, little cups, with the cups if I can. When you receive Christ as your Savior, Christ overcomes the world. You become an overcomer. You do. In the same breath that's true, in the same breath, you are in Christ, in God. And right now, the believing heart, I receive Christ into my life. He is my life. And in the same breath, I am in the middle. Here's God. And I am in you, God. You are in me. And I am in you. For real. That's why you're saved. That's why you have to understand when you got saved and we did all these things, trying to bang it home for us. You have to understand when you receive Christ, you receive God. Back over to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. Again and again and again. And again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 15. Whoso confesseth that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. I just did it for you, illustration. I'm going to do it again, verse 16. It's over and over again. And we know, we have known, and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love, God is love, dwelleth in God, and God dwelleth in him. I got it in front of you. One of us, heavenly truth, simply done, simply said. That's why God said, receive me as your Savior, and I save you to the uttermost. This is the victory. In 1 John 5, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Well, what's the victory? How am I going to enjoy this? You got the idea? By faith. Do I see this? Do I see this? No. Do I understand it? I can see it. I can comprehend it. But I can't realize what that really is saying. That God has found a home, a temple. We are. God has found a home in our heart. And we have found a home in his heart, by faith. Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible. What do you think impossible means? You want to sit and think about it? It's impossible for you to please God without faith. The only way you can understand God's word and this awesome truth is by faith. Take God at his word. Take God at his word and say, thank you. You do that and everything else that you don't understand. We shared it 1,000 times in 1,000 ways. You do things with your electronic world, with your physical body, with your medicines. You do all kinds of things that you don't understand, but you do them. You just do them because you have faith and believe. Then believe God and trust him, and he'll do what he does in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, your faith. Without faith, you cannot please me. For he that cometh to me must believe that I am. But I can't see you. No, you can't, said God. You couldn't possibly. We've done all this. You couldn't possibly see me because I'm God. But I can see you. I can see you and save you. Ah, by faith. Yeah, by faith. You got the idea? By faith. Believing, take God at his word. This is true because it is in your word. God in me, and God in me, and I in God. That's true. That's what it says. That's what it says. And I sort of, what am I supposed to do? Believe what it says. Believe what I told you. Believe what I told you. That's all I want you to do. What can we do to please you, God? Believe me. He said, believe me. Please believe me. Otherwise, you're in trouble. Because you're going to try to understand something your little old mind couldn't understand 10,000 years from now. Why don't you just believe me? Why don't you just believe me? And are you getting the idea? It's so simple. So wonderful. Yeah. We walk by faith. faith in your word, God. But you said, believe it. And we do. In closing, over, if you would, to Hebrews. And Hebrews in chapter 10. And appreciate your patience and hoping it a little bit and trying to balance it out to see it. That's all. Otherwise, and beyond a classroom, we don't come to church to have a class. This isn't a classroom. We come to hear a lecture. This isn't going to school like that. No, it isn't. It's where you come to take God's word, 663, John, which is living, full of life, and to bring that word into your head, to move it down into your heart, to enjoy the reality of God's wonderful presence. That's why we're here. We aren't here as a classroom. We're going to learn a little more about God. Listen, you can go to all kinds of churches you want to go. You can learn about God. I know where the book of Ezekiel 99 is. See. Anyway, you get the idea. It's good to know. I got all that down. You know, it's wonderful. Teach it. But that isn't what it's about. It's about a relationship. And that's what you're looking for. That's what I'm trying to get home to you. Help us. It's a relationship. And the reality, you can't get out of his presence. You can only enjoy him. You enjoy him in the phone. And I enjoy him in the room. Everywhere I am. And you are. He is. You go to bed. Go to work. Fall down the stairs. He's right there. That's where I belong here. I belong in you, God. And you belong in me. That's the gospel. Otherwise, you got a lot of nothing. A lot of nothings. Because the Bible's no good to you. Oh, I remember, I can quote it. If you don't have any life, if it doesn't, people can do that. There's no, just knowing that. There's no light in the Bible. It's just a lot of words. God, the Spirit of God makes it light. The Spirit of God gives it life. Otherwise, it's just a whole lot of words. You can read them. It's not that nice words. Well written, too. Wow. Just a bunch of words. Without faith, it's impossible. But God, you have made. You remember, our Lord, the disciples said, well, God, it's so high. If a rich man can't go through the eye of a needle, a sewing needle, who can be saved? God said, no one. Except I can save them. What's impossible with men, I can do it. I have done it. And it has been done. You have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Practice it. Enjoy it. And enjoy lunch. Our Father and God, we thank you for your word and your kindness as we travel along. God, we're trying to understand more and more, for better and better, that we would have the advantage. Otherwise, God, there's no prize for ignorance. And there's no prize for stupidity. And there's no prize for stubbornness. No, God, we want to be good students. We want to put the yoke around our neck. And Lord, take us down the corridor of time and help us to learn well, to understand your awesome word, your awesome person, and your ever presence. So God, deal with us. Spirit of God, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.